the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dhamma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor to assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyati tatiyati sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is oneself and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are
here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and offered to monthly donors. So what shall we look at this morning? Karen?
I'm sitting here thinking, where do I begin? Just really seeing a lot. At this particular state, and every time I come, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm always aware of the internal conversation that goes on, and finding myself not present, or, you know, like all the ways that happens, and
all the ways that the internal conversation is kind of catching your attention.
Yeah, because I'll, you know, like I'll forget to put a hat on in the kitchen, or I'll find myself washing the counter with the dishcloth, or you know, just all of those things.
Which is so helpful, right? That there are those kinds of ways of doing things at the monastery to catch, oh, wait, we wear hats while we're preparing food. Oh, we use certain cloths wiped on the counter.
That is so helpful. And I'm beginning to kind of understand, and I was going to run this by too. Just kind of how it works. And one thing I'm seeing because of communication. So I'm just trying to kind of sort this out. So I communicate with the monastery, but that doesn't mean that the monastery communicates with me. And so I was looking at that, thinking, well, now how does that work? It was almost as if that expectation to have the monastery communicate with me makes it all about me. And the monastery is more like, it communicates with me more like life. Like the monastery kind of stands for life. I don't know, I'm just checking this out.
Okay.
I'm trying to find, that's just what dropped in the other day.
Can I see if I'm with you?
Yeah.
So looking at communication, well, first of all, there's a lot to see when you come first day at the monastery. And, you know, communication tends to be a hot topic everywhere, but it really gets highlighted, you know, at least from what I've heard from other folks here at the monastery.
Yeah.
And it sounds like I'm communicating with the monastery, like maybe writing notes to the guest master or things like that. And in the regular world, you know, there's certain ways that you communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say something, and then you say something back, and there's kind of a way of doing that.
Yeah.
And so the communication here might not be exactly that same way. And you're looking at it, and you're not sure, but what you're seeing is, the way that the monastery communicates is kind of more like how life communicates. And that seems like a really interesting place. Do you want to say more about that? Or is that where you're headed?
Yeah, it's just, it causes me, first of all, I can see an expectation on my part.
Uh-huh.
And then I say, what was that about? And it causes me to stop and really look.
Uh-huh.
I can see the expectation on my part. I can see, and then I can look for other ways or other, what is kind of the teaching here? What is what am I being pointed to?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just not to know that now. Or
yeah.
There's an
exploration.
A thousand things.
Whereas if you weren't aware of that, it sounds like what you got to bump up against, kind of like, oh, I don't have my hat on, there's an internal conversation. Oh, there's an expectation.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was an expectation about how things should go. That often, as you said, focuses kind of around me. And when the expectation doesn't go how I go, it's like, oh, something's different here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's an expectation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. You know, there's all that curiosity about that. And then it sounds like kind of dropping that expectation and exploring, what else is possible? There's a chance for me to kind of look at this a little bit more.
Yeah.
As opposed to kind of what it sounds like can happen to all of us, is just that kind of unconscious, mm-hmm. we're in expectations and assumptions about communication back and forth, and not really seeing, well, what's going on for me? And what is there to explore for this person?
Well, and one of the big thing was to drop the expectation, to just put it out there. It's like putting it out there to the universe, basically.
Yeah.
And you just, it's like, well, if there's, you know, I'm going to put it out there, and if and when and how that might come, you know, information might come, so be it. And if it doesn't, then I'm not worried about it. I'm just like going to put it out there.
Uh-huh.
And then there's all the things I don't put out there, like, you know, like every note I get, I want to write back, thank you, you know. Thank you, I didn't know I wanted, yay, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But then I think,
you're awesome.
You know. Like, I plaster the whole message board with, you know, things from Karen. And I don't need to do that. And, you know, and it's just, or the things that I don't communicate. Like unplugging the toaster and realizing someone else's toast was in there. And then plugging it back in, and I'm sitting down and going, oh my God, you know, the toast is going to burn. What the toast, you know.
Just so you know, other people are laughing because that's happened many times.
And I figured so, and I, you know, and I would never do things. I don't know how I would handle that. And I don't, and I decided I'm not going to post a note about that because I want to see in the moment what my, you know, like that's probably what this is all about, is that the way that monastery communicates helps me to come to the moment and look. I guess that's basically what I'm trying to say.
That's kind of huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
to experience that the way that the monastery communicates helps you come to the moment.
Yeah.
As you said earlier about that dropping that expectation, which, you know, we can sort of imagine as a more narrow place. And then you were kind of talking about open, and your arms keep going open when you're talking about that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it really does feel like a shift, doesn't it? Dropping that expectation and encouraging you, and it sounds like being received, kind of like an invitation.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, I think, when early on when I realized everything, this is all done with the intent of helping Karen wake up and end suffering. I know that.
That's good to know, though, isn't
it?
It
is.
Because that's a very different way to look at things.
Yeah.
Wait, I know everything that's going on here is through conscious compassion awareness.
Yeah.
It's here to help Karen wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of like, well, if I'm not going to feel bad, then everything else is open.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to, and I'm going to open up to this is here for my awakening,
mm-hmm.
Wow, what an exploration.
Yeah.
And you start off, so much to see.
Yeah.
It's like, where do I start?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's been a lot of yesterday was appreciation month today, for the 30-day retreat and
And the making a change for good.
Yeah, and the making the change for good and so and part of the mantra, well, there's nothing wrong with you, and so. And so that could be, you know, if there is any question, I can just throw that out there,
uh-huh.
You know, 1,000 times a day.
Like, uh-huh.
You know, that there's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong out there. And, you know, right. I don't know, it all feels.
Well, another huge thing, right? There's nothing wrong with me, there's nothing wrong out there. Because the voices always want to interpret everything as there's. Well, they didn't communicate back, so that means.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, and I didn't get a toaster, and so that means.
Yeah.
And so this mantra, the appreciation mantra, boy, we could all take that one.
Yeah.
I know there's nothing wrong with me and there's nothing wrong out there.
Yeah.
Again, wow, everything is open at that point, isn't it?
And the rules, you know, like, I'd love to know the rules. Like, what are the toaster rules? For every single toaster circumstance that you have.
We get a little toaster at the bottom of the toaster that we can reference.
And that could be applied to everything. Well, what if they're over there? Do I move over here? You know, there's that too. So anyway, it's just sort of all sort of coming together, I think.
It sounds like it. Mm-hmm. And even on that point, what a gift that we don't have a rule for everything. Because we wouldn't be able to explore as you've been using the guidelines for.
Yeah. Yeah. And really only the one that wants to do everything right and perfect cares about the rules.
Only the one who wants to do everything right and perfect cares about the rules.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the human being we're here to support.
Oh, no. No, not at all. So, anyway.
Just a few things.
There's a few things that have been going on this week. So.
Very exciting. Thank you, Karen. Jen.
Great topic.
Yeah,
just, well. And I saw so much in that, the image I just kept getting is that it's like that I, the identity, is always wanting to stop time and just stay here.
Yeah.
Right? Here in the sense of like nothing changes, everything's static.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at my experience of that communication dynamic and how just that place exactly is described of without seeing it, it's all about me.
Yeah.
Right? And to find out over time, wow, it really isn't.
It really is not.
It really isn't, you know.
Just like time won't stop for you either.
Time,
you can have everything predictable
you.
And constant.
Yeah.
That doesn't work either.
And it's so fun over time to have those things busted through.
Yeah.
You know, some ego looking around for the story of why, you know, so if we take communication thing, why not the communication back? And then finally figures it out, right? And then finds out 3 weeks later that email got lost.
Right.
That's why there was no response. No one ever got it. You know?
Uh-huh.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. But it's always not the condition conclusion.
Yeah, because we don't, as you're saying, we don't realize how much everything is about me. Because we don't realize how much we're referencing that system.
Awesome.
Well, why not the communication?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Now I got it. Okay.
Now I got it, right.
And then somebody comes back and says, oh, actually, I just forgot to send you that email. Oh. Yeah,
or in some way it's clear that that information was received, action was taken, but I just didn't need the, you know, because one of the most, we were talking about the privileged environment recently, I forget in what setting, but, and we were talking about what do we feel like the benefits are for each of us, you know, in particular, and I just remember really looking at one of them being that principle that we're only given the information we need.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very compassionate principle. It's for ego, at least in my experience, ego experiences it as punitive and controlling.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just that, why can't I know?
Yeah.
Sort of place.
Yeah.
And that from the reason it's, at least in my experience, in the privileged environment, is that we want everyone to have the information each of us needs to be able to fully, you know, take responsibility and be successful, you could say, in whatever it is that we're stewarding and all of that. But no need to give more information. That conditioning is just going to do a bunch of stuff with.
Yeah. And that's what it takes us a little while to see,
yeah.
Right? That it is such a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we are given information, mm-hmm. the exact information we need to be successful in our task mm-hmm. or whatever we're stewarding,
mm-hmm.
and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And ego's like, you know, kind of yeah. punitive, like, well, why can't I know?
Yeah.
Or I should know, or whatever. Yeah. But to see that extra information that we don't need just gets taken up by conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Noodling, figuring things out, thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
and takes the human away from this here now.
Mm-hmm.
So when we step back, it's like, oh my gosh, thank you
yeah.
for not giving me all that information. That is such a kindness.
Yeah, and that what I just saw in that too was that, again, it's that place of just staying here in the moment,
uh-huh.
staying here. Because so let's take the case of the emails lost, right? So it's not like, well, I sent out the communication. You know, they want to know the pond's overflowing. They have the information now. You know, I did my part. Right? But it's that place of keep paying attention, and I love that. I can so relate to the, it's only the thing that wants to get it all right that's going to be concerned,
uh-huh.
right? Because just from that in-the-moment place, the pond's overflowing, the moment is going to keep communicating that over and over
yeah.
and over.
Waving arms.
Without the story of like, well, they hate you, and you know,
right.
why are you doing that, and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Because if I need to get information that says, we got it, we heard the thing about the pond, then someone will say that.
Yeah.
Right?
Gosh, because when we have our attention on this here now, in the moment, there's no room for the attention to be on. They hate you. Why aren't they responding?
Exactly.
You're just doing what needs to be done. And in the case of the pond overflowing, it's
yeah.
communicating as many times as you need
yeah.
until someone can come to assistance.
Yeah. And that, you know, there's just that place of, let's say, it's so funny. I look at this a lot. It's hard to articulate. But once we really have that commitment to living life in the present moment, you have to stay there. Because, so here I am in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
that communication comes up. It's a very, in a sense, it's a very courageous place, in the sense of, so I might be saying things or doing things or whatever, that the voices say, oh, there's, you know, you're communicating too much, or they're bugged by you,
uh-huh.
or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's, in my experience, it doesn't feel courageous when we're in the moment, because it's just what there is to do.
Yes,
right?
Just like responding. Mm-hmm.
But there's a way in which it is, in the sense of that then we have to be willing to stay there when and if we do get feedback that says, hey, you know, whatever it is, that ego could interpret as, see, there is something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
We have to stay here.
Yeah.
We have to stay here. We
yeah.
can't, in other words, we can't, well, we can, and we do all the time, but it's not fair, in a sense, to the human to be in the moment, do all this stuff, and then when the feedback comes in, leave the moment.
Yeah, well, it's a real set of movement.
Completely.
Yeah.
So we have to have,
yeah.
that's where the practice is so critical, to just
yeah.
stay right here.
Yeah, gosh, that is really important, and it does take courage to stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much pulling us off. And so if we're in the moment and we communicate, it doesn't necessarily feel like courage, but we have to stay here, because if we don't, here comes the information, and who's receiving that if we're not here?
Right.
It's coming right through the ego filter, and ego is going to probably say something very unkind to the human about it.
Yeah.
You know, when, as was being said earlier, it's just information coming back and
yeah.
forth.
Yeah.
You know, but we can't see that unless we're here.
Unless we're here.
And that's really important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we just said in that last conversation, it's really all about just getting back here,
it's
staying
all about
here.
Getting here. Dropping the conversation,
Dropping
getting
the
here.
Conversation and being here.
Uh-huh.
Kind of. Oh, I love this topic. I love it.
The
ego hates it.
Yeah. It just kind of makes us love it more. Right? Yeah.
I just, around that, only being given the information that you need, and it's only the, like, only the information that you need to wake up and end suffering,
uh-huh.
not need in any other, you know,
right.
context. And it's like it's all in that process, all holding the line for that process.
Yeah, that kind of broadens it, doesn't it? I mean, it kind of really encapsulates everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just the information you need to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
Because everything else apparently would be outside of life, and why would you want information that's outside of life?
Yeah.
The illusion of something outside of life.
Right, right. I was reading, it was one of the musings a couple of months ago,
uh-huh.
around, you know, why did the Buddha never answer questions
oh,
that
yeah.
people asked him? What happens when? What? And the response was, I only give you exactly what you need to get to the other shore. And when I read that, I cried. It was mm-hmm. just that, oh, like, just really feeling it, you know, mm-hmm. the massive wisdom and generosity mm-hmm. and holding the line in that. And I guess felt that in my experience here at the monastery. It just,
yes.
I just, yeah.
You just really received that massive wisdom and generosity
yeah.
that the Buddha was teaching, but is actually occurring here
mm-hmm.
at the monastery and
yeah.
in our training.
Exactly.
Yeah, and to hold that line, boy. To hold that bigger picture when we just can't see. Well, why can't you just tell me da 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 da?
Yeah.
Well, why not da 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 da?
Yeah.
And someone to hold that line until we wake up and can see that answer for ourselves.
Yeah, and can just practice holding the line.
And can practice holding the line for ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like, two things at least. One is that. The place that, the conditioned place that I go to in that only being given the information you need is that it's assuming inadequacy.
Yeah.
It's
I think
like,
I'm familiar with that one, yeah.
Yeah. Like somehow it's like a parent-child thing,
uh-huh.
you know? Like, and so you get to see all this conditioning around information
uh-huh.
and entitlement to have it. And, you know, it's like that, that being given information means the grown-ups think you're a grown-up, or something
mm-hmm.
like that,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah.
Or that you're adequate to handle it,
mm-hmm.
or that you, all of that.
Yeah.
And so that not being given it gets interpreted by that conditioning as mm-hmm. being assumed to be inadequate, or
yeah.
being treated like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to, yeah, just have all of that revealed and exposed and seen for the conditioning that it is just amazing.
It is amazing to have it revealed and exposed for the conditioning that it is, and that's what awareness practice provides us.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we would just be like, I'm not a child, why is it? We would just be acting that out. We wouldn't even get that, oh, there's a system that I'm projecting
yeah.
of inadequacy. I'm projecting there's a parent and there's a child.
Yeah.
You know, wow, wait, what's going on with
mm-hmm.
this? Wow, do I want to be living in this? What do I choose?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a completely different world, right?
Yeah.
Than the one maybe having a tantrum about it.
Right,
yeah.
right. To receive the only being given what you need to take you to the other shore. And
yeah.
So, you
know. Kind of reminds me of what was being started off with, which is, okay, I know everything is here for me to wake up and end suffering. So what's going on here?
Yeah.
I know that the information is just here to assist me, to bring me to the other shore.
Yeah.
So what's going on here?
Right, and the power of checking it out too, so
uh-huh.
not just what's going on here
right.
on my own,
right?
You know, like, so the response doesn't come, and that can be a place where I've noticed there's this conditioning to freeze in that kind of have to work it out by myself what's being communicated
yeah.
by the response, right? And then it's like you sit with that and you see, oh, there's an alternative. I can ask, is the no response an intentional response
yeah.
from practice? Or did you not get the email? Or did you not get the note? And then that feels free and a place to explore, rather than I've got to interpret what the right practice response is to this. You know, all of that.
That's a huge piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I know everything's here to wake up and end suffering. Okay, what is it? And now I just look over to that little voice in the head.
The suffering process.
To the suffering process. Okay. And I'm like, oh, right back into the loop. So what we're practicing is communication.
Yeah.
And communicating something, anything, other than egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Right.
And what a blessing to be practicing at the monastery. So you can just write a note. So here's what's going on for me. I didn't get a response, and I'm thinking, I don't know what that means. Does that mean somebody lost the note, or, you know, and then just see what happens.
Exactly. And here's what I'm seeing about it.
Here's what I'm seeing about it.
I'm seeing about
it. Here's the process
on
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the conditioning would be to interpret no responses, nobody wants to talk to you, or that communication is being, I don't know, discouraged or withheld, but instead to be in that place of choosing, just checking it out.
Yeah, it's not something we were conditioned to do, was it?
Check things out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just. I'm gonna assume you should know everything.
Yeah.
And don't ask me about it, because I'm really busy, and it'll upset me if you ask. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. But here we are. Just that place of waking up is checking it out.
Yeah.
Communicating.
It really truly feels like a huge piece of going beyond self-hate. All of that.
Uh huh. Yeah, because it just completely transcends it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right through it. Right through the self-hate too. Hey, here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys are like screaming, no, they're gonna da 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 da. I'm writing.
Yeah.
I'm checking it out.
So fun. I was going to share about this in group on Thursday, but that's holding the line where there's always like a pull for information and wanting to know so that the suffering process can have more to feed on, and the Holy Ghost can gobble on it, and just you know, that cooperative be like the expert in something and know, and all of the like control and stuff that goes with that, and reframing that to becoming the expert but on breaking the addiction to that ego process.
Yeah,
it just really gives, like, instead of it just being like a practice of restraint, like I'm not going to reach for that information and hit Google.
Somebody will tie my arms over here. Yeah.
Exactly. So all the energy's on the restraining from not picking up Google and entering symptoms into it.
That'll make me the good person.
Instead, to pour all the energy and love and attention into becoming an expert in how that all works and how to practice the process of freedom.
How to practice the process of freedom.
Yeah, not just moving away from the addiction.
Yes, that's the fun part that you started off with, right?
Because
if it was just restraining, like, don't grab for that information or don't pick up that cookie, gosh, that could really feel like deprivation, or I'm just trying to will myself through it. Because it is such a pull, isn't it? I mean, if I have this information, then I'll know, then I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But it's actually, as you started off saying, it's feeding the addictive system. We just can't see that until we do awareness practice, and this is where the fun comes in. We get to see how all of that works, you know, and we get to be the expert not on some sort of willpower, but on seeing how the system works. And that's the freedom, seeing how it works and dropping it so we can end suffering. Rebecca, I didn't know if I needed to shout down there or not.
I heard that. I'll have to shout that. Seeing how the system works is exactly your last word there. It's exactly where I've been lately. And I'm wanting to bring in the practice of the looking at the illusion of control.
Our next bamboozle here, huh?
Oh. Did I read him? Sorry, I thought it was the current bamboozle.
Well, it's always kind of confusing because it comes out, but the dates sometimes are,
okay.
But I mean,
anyway,
I think it starts today, if anything.
Oh, okay, yeah. Out of time.
Yeah, exactly.
The illusion of control, and let's see, where was I? Let me take a second to see what was coming up about that. So how it all works is, so I've been having this workshop around no real control, and just loving that, getting very much in tune with that life is just living this person, as all of us have been looking at in terms of me, this person, just in whatever way it wants to, exactly like it does the trees and the birds and everything. It's just, you know, they'll grow, they'll bend, they'll wave, they'll be still, they'll whatever. And it's just all life living it perfectly. And that is exactly the way it happens here with me, is this expression of life. And then watching, really curious about how the illusion of control comes in to try to, quote, manage or, you know, control that expression of life. And what I get to all the time, and I love it, because it's like I've adopted now Sherry's role internally of being the nag, you know, getting it. But it always comes down to get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And it only ever happens in the conversation.
Yeah. That's the way that you tend to say, and we just need to keep saying it, right? So the getting out of the conversation is the way back to that experience of life just living. Rebecca, the trees, all just unfolding. So you've been watching in this workshop, it sounds like, well, how does that, I know that experience, I know that's true. How does it then go into some sort of control? Mm-hmm. And is the attention going to the conversation?
Mm-hmm. And so from the perspective of then applying that spirit of inquiry, well, then how does that happen? What has been in the training aspect, you know, using our embodying Zen awareness practice tools, is, you know, we want to, you know, see it, not go to feeling bad, and communicate whatever maybe needs to be communicated, and do a behavior change, all of those steps that we've been talking about.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? So you're talking, just for folks who are listening, the awareness practice embodied steps that Sherry wrote a blog about, and I think Lakota did a good news update on his experience with that as well, and I think maybe you talked about it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, and so...
So you were kind of laying, sorry, I interrupted your flow there. So you were just kind of laying these steps of the awareness practice in body.
Of how that conversation then gets triggered, you know, over and over. And I don't know, I mean, it would take a whole long time to go through all of the steps. So the salient point is that there to, and on a training perspective, to implement a behavior change that every time I notice the conversation to do something, you know, with the body, just make some movement or whatever, that is going to be signifying that I know that that's what's going on and I choose something else. That, you know, just some sort of behavior change that signifies that intention.
Which is a huge signifying, isn't it, that intention?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's going on, and I choose something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that behavior change, in terms of looking at those steps, is kind of after we've gone through, okay, this is going on, there's I'm, you know, getting pulled into a conversation in the head. I'm not going to feel bad about that. You know, blame anybody, justify. And then we get to employ some of our awareness practice techniques, which it sounds like you've been doing. And then when we get down to the place, it's like, well, okay, I want to do a behavior change. And so your behavior change is looking at something that signifies, I know that conversation's going on, and I choose something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some things that we're dropping in, and now it's not here. Let's see. Gosh, well, anyway, it doesn't feel like it's on the tip of my tongue. Signifies the intention. Yeah, that it really underscores and supports the intention. It was about the communication and all the information. So in that way, it really is that just that one little behavior change burst the illusion of control and it gets me right into what's actually here. And it's from that place that if there's anything to communicate, that will arise then. Because it's like making this motion here on the real earth, that's where communication happens.
Uh-huh.
Up in the head of the internal conversation is where the illusion of control happens. And practicing making that movement is, in real time, real space, whatever is really here, that's the only place a note can ever get written or, real communication can never really happen. Mm-hmm. And so, it's like the little behavior change or the signifying gesture, whatever it happens to be, is the switch that gets flipped to take one out of this illusion of control or in the head into real time, real life, real earth, real communication, whatever it happens to be in that moment.
I like it. Can we all sign up for this? So the behavior change is the flipping of the switch. It's the, I think you said it's the bursting of the illusion of control. And the illusion of control is happening up, and you're kind of pointing up into your head. That's the conversation. We could write notes from there, but it probably won't work out best overall. So the behavior change is the movement from the head, the illusion, to something real. When you're putting your hands on the ground, I was reminded of that's what the Buddha did with Mara, right? And it brings us to the only thing that's actually happening, the only thing that's real.
Yeah.
And that's the place that if there's anything for us to see or know, that's where it'll drop in.
Yeah.
That's the place we would like to communicate from.
Yeah. And that one last thing, and that is exactly why I project we all sort of emote and express this great love for being here at the monastery and for all the structures in this place, because it is real.
Yeah.
So it is the tangible, real places that we can take refuge in that gets us out of that imaginary illusion of control headspace.
Yeah. Yeah, at the monastery there is no support for the imaginary headspace. And what's going on here is real. And, what was being talked about throughout the group is that it sounds like the monastery assists, whether it's communication or, I didn't put my hat on, assists from that movement to know, I was in a conversation in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, and then making the behavior change to either getting in line with the guideline or, whatever the behavior change happens to be for.
Yeah, that's a really good way. Yes, that's a really good point. The signifying elements are everywhere.
They are everywhere. Yeah. It's pretty harsh too. I mean, I think if folks who have been here know, ego can't survive.
Yeah.
I mean, often past those 3 days, but it's definitely a week. There's no way.
And just to bring in another point that Sherry keeps making on the radio show and whatnot, is that it's so important that people get here.
Yes.
And not
thank
just
you for
rely
that.
On virtual stuff.
Yeah.
All the time, although it's wonderful, everybody is always hastens to say that because it's true, but it just isn't here.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't the same as being here.
Yeah.
So I'm just seeing that as we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right with you on that point that Sherry's been saying, get to the monastery, because that is where the privileged environment is all the time.
Yeah.
So it's such a service to be in, just immersed in that.
Yeah.
What a great place to practice awareness. It's like, if you want to learn a language, go to the country.
Yeah.
The book on tape or whatever is great, but go to the country.
Yeah.
So come here to the privileged environment. It's, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had an interesting experience with internal communication yesterday.
Interesting experience with internal communication.
Yeah. Choosing not to get into external communication. There were a number of events that happened yesterday. It was a very busy day. And in the course of the day, there were two occasions where people, most unexpected people I would not have necessarily expected this from, made very complimentary comments to me.
To you. Mm-hmm.
And one person I hardly know, and the other, I wouldn't say that the feeling is reciprocal necessarily. And I was with other people, and there was a real temptation to say, "Gosh, I wonder why in the world so and so would say that," you know. And I just got
out loud to the people you were with.
Yes. As sort of innocent speculation, and I got, "Oh, do not go there." Mm-hmm. In first place, I have no idea why they said what they did, mm-hmm. and all it would be is ideas, you know.
Uh-huh.
It would be just, and so what I ended up was, it's really nice.
That's really nice. And yeah, because you said, so here you are, you're there with these two folks, and one person, they both said nice, very complimentary things, and one of them you wouldn't don't necessarily feel a reciprocal relationship to, and so then it came up to kind of maybe say something to the people you were with, like, you know, kind of, well, what was that about?
Right.
And something flagged you at that point. What did you say? It's innocent. I missed what you just said about. You kind of had a sense that maybe that wasn't coming from life.
Oh yeah, clearly that wasn't coming from life. And just, you know, what I see in this, and this happens a lot, is that conditioning will enter in supposedly to make something better.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, if we really look at this, we'll see how good it really is. That kind of thing. And in engaging with it, we'll develop it. It'll get better.
So let me make this comment to these folks, because it'll add to it. It'll be developed. It'll make it better.
And the end result, of course, is it'll take me out of whatever experience I'm actually having. And second of all, it's totally imaginary, and I'll end up actually not feeling very good. For me, you know, approval is such an addictive process that it would be feeding me. It's this.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's feeding the addiction. Because the impact for me of going into that kind of thing and massaging it is I just want more.
Uh-huh.
So I was so grateful to just say, this is really a nice thing, drop it.
Wow. It kind of reminds me of like kind of a behavior change almost. I mean, I don't know if that's how
I guess it was.
But they're kind of habit, and we can probably all relate to sort of an addiction to approval.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, that kind of place of, you know, it wanted to develop it and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be really clear, that's not where I want to head.
Well, and it won't do what it's saying.
And it won't do what it says. It's really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
It won't do what
it says. If it got me there, I'd go.
Sure. Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Yeah, but it's a setup.
It's a setup.
Yeah, and you're just so grateful instead of making those comments to folks or, you know, mm-hmm. going down that line of feeding the addiction,
mm-hmm.
but just simply to say, that's nice.
Yeah.
Which allowed you to stay here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right here.
Yeah, and the same thing has happened in the reverse direction a couple times lately where my dislike of someone or something, and just that arise that I don't like that. And the temptation to talk about it, how I don't like that,
mm-hmm.
and to just get, I don't like that. So, it's a much freer place to be.
It's funny because it's like, wait, you could do that? No, we're supposed to, you don't like it, well, how come you don't like this? Mm-hmm. Just, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm seeing as we reflect that, it's a search for reasons. It's a search for material.
It's a search for reasons
and ideas and thoughts about and all of those are actually removed from whatever the experience is.
Uh-huh.
So the experience is complete.
It's interesting. It's sort of like what we were talking about, communication in a privileged environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that's what you're maintaining.
Well, that's what's arriving. And you know, I think that's one of the things that practice begins to yield.
Yeah.
You know, is
well, that's amazing to be doing out there. And to see that, those ideas and the material and the thought, all
mm-hmm.
of that is just feeding the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It felt like a relief.
Outside of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you were saying, I mean, it maybe kind of relates. So we get to come to the monastery and practice in the privileged environment.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of things of not noodling, not going into that extra information.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go out in the world and actually practice that same privileged environment. And what a gift for the person you who gets to stay here, but I just project for all the people around you.
For the people in the same car with me, it would have been.
All the people in the car with you didn't have to have that experience of a bunch of extra thoughts or information that really wouldn't be supporting anyone in there.
Right.
Wow.
It was very nice.
Yeah, they were very nice.
It was. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So go ahead.
Well, the conversation this morning, as usual, was just like, just common, one mind sort of,
We can always see ourselves, can't we?
We can. And I woke up this morning and I was looking at recording what I wanted from the day, or, you know, what my focus was. And then I just saw the shift that was possible of what can I give back to life today.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that is a shift, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, instead of just always keep referencing
me.
Yeah.
what's my focus? What do I want?
Yeah. Right? What do I want?
Which, you know, sounds great. You know, okay, yeah. I got the recorder. Right. I'm making a focus. But
right.
Something else came in and said, well, what could I offer?
Yeah.
How can I be of service today?
Yeah.
That kind of opens things, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It just really shifts from, you know, what do I want to do with, you know, what do I want from my life? What do I want? You know, to just say, wow, what, you know, how can I participate? How can I say thank you?
How can I participate and say thank you? Which is kind of what we want in the end, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It totally is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I was just hearing in that last conversation. It's like, you know, you can either make it all about you, no matter whether it's kind, whether it's a compliment or a light, either way.
That's
you know?
The habit.
Yeah, it's just such a habit, and to just say,
you
know, just like, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and
okay.
how can I give back, or how can I, you know,
it's kind of the same shift you were talking about with the behavior change a little bit ago, about moving, because that does tend to, you know, what is my focus, what do I want today, could slide us over into a conversation, and then the behavior change of asking about how can I be of service, what can I offer, is kind of coming back to touching the ground.
Or is it getting me to the other shore?
Is it leading me towards freedom or towards something?
Yeah, is this information that that I need to get to the other shore? Or you know.
Oh, that's kind of a fun little call.
It is. Yeah. It is. So I appreciated that this morning. Just kind of hold that in awareness. This is, you know, this is getting me to the other shore.
Uh-huh.
And
Rebecca, can you hear down there?
You know, and I've been looking at that in terms of distractions, entertainment, you know, and to just like, you know, it's just such a pull. And then it's like, boy, but is this getting me to the other shore?
Uh-huh.
You know, and as I said, it's not like, okay, so I'm never going to do this thing again, you know, and then it becomes this, you know. But
you just kind of put your fist in your hand, and kind of like,
grit teeth,
deprivation.
Right.
Yeah.
But to be in that place of, is this getting me to the other shore?
You know? And you're saying that with a smile, too, right? It's kind of, it can be fun, actually. Is this getting me to the other shore?
Yeah, it's just next, and actually, to bring it into a place of exploration, maybe, it's probably getting you to, you know, there is the opportunity to take for whatever it is that's happening to take you to the other shore.
Yeah. Oh, good. So it could get into like entertainment, bad or distractions or da 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 da. But that whatever's happening with us right now, if from an exploration point of view, could be the thing getting us to the other shore.
Yeah.
Oh, that seems kind of huge to see, right?
It's really that's interesting because I got some guidance this week that was just really relaxing. And that was that. It was like whatever is my experience at this moment is my practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that in.
Yeah.
Whatever is my experience of this moment.
Whatever is going on right now. Whatever I'm experiencing, that's my practice.
That's my practice. I don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Or think of anything or try.
Right.
Whatever is here right now is, as we could say, is been given to us, I think, as we've been talking about this morning.
Yeah. I don't have to be going out there thinking or comparing my practice to somebody else's practice, or, you know, thinking that, wow, if I once I get this thing handled, then I can really start the practice.
Yes.
You know?
I could just then.
This one glaring character flaw, you know, and it's just like in my face, and I can't get past it. And then it's like, oh.
Oh, wait, this is the thing. This process, kind of what Anna was talking about, you know, before, to kind of take that step back and go, oh, there's a process of, if I could just get through this thing, then I could really practice.
This is it.
And that beauty, it's just right here. Thank goodness. I don't have to wait till later. Or get through something till. It's right here.
And
that is relaxing, isn't it?
It is so relaxing.
And dropping the comparison, that's really relaxing.
It's just so egotistical to be in that place. Of,
oh, gosh. It's such a reinforced habit, isn't it?
Exactly.
Boy.
To just be focusing on that. And then I've got to get over this and got to get,
So it does. The focusing on the flower, comparing it. Just by process, it pushes at the center of everything. And we'll always suffer.
So anyway, it's all perfect, and I just I'm grateful.
Gosh, those are one of those things where, like, I need to have on a recording and just saying it over and over again, because we know that whatever's right here, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to do anything. It's right here to practice with.
Boy, it's the touching the earth again.
It's the touching the earth. It's the communicating.
And
that's all we really need to do.
Yeah.
And that, yet we know we're just. And these card patterns.
Thinking we know.
So we could just keep listening to that. Touching the earth. Coming back here. Whatever's here right now is for me.
This is what practice I've been given.
This is what I've been given.
And who's to know if that's not the gift to hand back to life?
And who knows if that's not the gift to hand back to life? That's the service that you start out with. About 3 minutes.
Oh, so helpful, you know. can I make it?
And you did.
I mean, within seconds, you know, that sort of lit up. But anyway,
that's amazing, isn't it?
It's reassuring to know, though, because I think that's not it. But what you guys are actually saying is, that is it. You know, that is it. You know, whatever is, you know, it's like my favorite, but of course, you know, the one we have in the, we've had forever in the binder where, in the binder. What are the ones that are in the binder that she wrote a long time ago?
Sitting still?
Yes, sitting still.
I was like, binder?
We're talking
about binder. Well, good thing we have other folks. We have a song that we're doing together.
Sitting still.
So if you come to the monastery and you get a little booklet,
and you read it, and in there it says, this is it.
It does say that.
This is it. And so I love that.
It might be another book she writes.
It's
another one of those. I have to listen to that. Because I think what you started off with is just like, you know, it's kind of like the voices saying, what voices?
Right.
The voices say, well, this isn't it.
Right.
Which is the perfect way not to look at what's going on.
Well, in my lately, I mean, this clearly can't possibly be it. I don't know if you've ever had one. I mean, I'm sure everyone in here can. But really, you know, I believe I'm a certain person. And so the way that things are happening right now can't really be it. Except that it is.
Because this is how life is.
Right.
And I'm like this. So that can't, it doesn't fit into my beliefs and feelings.
Right. So life is arising like this. But really, I'm not like that. I'm like this.
Uh-huh.
And so this must be wrong, except this is what is.
So what the beliefs in the, of who I am or what life's like must be right. But what's actually arising, it says, is must be wrong.
Right. So what this interprets this as is all about it. You know, it means something about it. Well, kind of like, okay, oh, I heard this woman say one time, she was a parent, and she said, well, of an autistic son, and she said, she said, if I take credit for my daughter who was like, you know, some successful ha-ha, then I have to take credit for, and she said, none of it is, you know, it's just life, you know. So,
well, that brings me right back to that relaxing place.
Right! Yeah. We could relax. We could just realize that this is it. This is that thing that is going to transport us to the shore. You know, what Inga wants, Susan, who I've identified myself for so long, I want toaster rolls, man. I would love to have
Laminated.
Okay, and then I go to the sink and it tells me exactly, okay, turn it to three. And then, you know, but because it believes that control thing, that it, you know, if I can just follow these, all the toaster rules in my life, but you know, others don't follow them correctly.
I can make
toaster rules.
We could maybe print these out.
Totally.
Send them around. Yeah.
But don't you, I mean, I'm sure most people in the room know this experience of coming to the monastery and there you are. And then at some point, just as, for me, just as I relax into receiving notes and realizing, then they make me into some job that writes notes, which for me was way worse. I didn't really like writing notes, because what if I'm writing it incorrectly? And then, okay, now I know stuff because I'm new. And then just as you think you're getting into comfortable with that, then you get thrown into the kitchen. Or like, you know, there's kind of a, which is very similar to life as someone who's living out there now.
Yeah.
If at the monastery I got the privilege of practicing whatever the note said or whatever task I got or whatever, and I forget in life because I comes in and says, well, that's not exactly the note I want. You know, this phone call or this person saying this or this person, does it kind of make sense? Are you sort of with me? Not exactly.
Well, I just lost right that. So the last part you were saying is that sometimes things come in, and that's not actually the note that you want.
Right. It's a note. It's just the equivalent of a note.
It's equivalent
before,
to it.
Right?
It could be a phone call. It could be
whatever. And so, what I noticed I've been doing is, I think, getting identified, and this is not it. Forgetting that this is it, in the sense of this is my best opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to transport me. You know, this is what's going to build my faith. This is what's going to expand my heart. What ego wants is for it to all just be easy.
Yes.
And
I just got comfortable receiving notes. Can I just stay there?
Right.
Or I just got comfortable writing notes. Let me just stay there.
Yes.
But like in the monastery, life is always offering, we could say, a kindness to not let us go to sleep.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it's always offering these things that, quote, are uncomfortable, and we know who that's uncomfortable for.
Yeah.
And who also interprets it as, no, this isn't it. That's not me. That shouldn't be happening.
Right.
Instead, though, your awareness practice is allowing a place of, oh, this is it.
Today.
Well, again, it's not like this is the first time.
No,
right?
No.
Yeah.
Have a lot.
But we need these reminders, right, as we're just being spoken about.
And
it completely shifts our attitude of mind, our attention to these things now, right?
Right. So it says what's going to shift the attitude of mind is to get a different note. Phone call.
Change the content.
Right. But what we know is, no, that's not true. It really is not true.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to go, again, it brings us, you know, we don't have to go and change the note. You don't have to try to get someone else to do something different.
Or as people were talking about, write another one, you know, cover the note board. I could relate, well, let me just explain how I'm trying to say it this time. And I just want to say thank you for this, you know. No, there's just sitting with it.
And we can feel that right now, right? Just what if we got quiet and just sat with it? Because this doesn't want that, does it? It wants to, I don't want that note, well, let me just write that, oh no, well, let me explain, there's just a constant movement, a constant chatter. So when we get quiet, or we sit here in Sangha, and we hear those kinds of things, we can come here, and it gets a lot more clear, doesn't it? That everything is here for our awakening.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing I was thinking as people were talking, is that we get to know the raft. So if I can get quiet and sink into it, just with, I'm imagining actually a real raft, you know.
Yeah.
And then I get curious about, well, if this is it, and this is what's sailing me across, I might want to get to know it.
Huh.
What is it to just sit on this and float? Because this is what's going to take me there. Even though it feels like fear or it feels like wrong or whatever, if this is it, let's get really curious.
Yeah, boy, that is such a fun place. That's really what's been described this
mm-hmm.
morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we know that this is it and this is here, this is going to help me get from this shore to that shore, then instead of trying to go to an imaginary world where something could be different, we get really curious about
mm-hmm.
what's right here.
Mm-hmm.
So in a real raft, it's like, well, I've actually even looked at the raft. Let me check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at it. Well, it kind of feels like it's fear or something like that. But I really want to, if this is my vehicle to the other shore, and there we are back in that thing I was going to talk about earlier, that exploring,
mm-hmm.
that being present to whatever is in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you all.